Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last two or three weeks, you know we're talking about the rapture, the gathering up, the catching away of the saints. And so we're going to continue in that vein today. We're going to continue to talk about the rapture. And I know that some of you may be a little suspicious about the rapture doctrine, but I can assure you the Bible is very clear about it. There is a lot of teaching on it. I could go on for weeks and weeks, but I probably won't. But the anchor scripture that we looked at last week for the rapture doctrine comes from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And this speaks about the Lord coming back to gather up his saints from here in the earth. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, those who have already passed away, that are in the graves, they will arise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so I'm going to comfort you with these words today. I hope you take comfort in the fact that the ones who have already passed on, that knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that their spiritual bodies are going to be resurrected. And the same for those of us who are alive and remain, those of us who are walking around on this earth, we're going to be taken. We're going to be caught up. The Greek word there is harpazo, to be caught up. And we're going to be caught up and experience the catching away. And we will join the Lord in the air. If you'll notice there, it doesn't say anything about Jesus coming to the earth. He's not planting his feet on the earth. He's not establishing his kingdom at that time. The rapture is simply to gather up the church and to gather up the saints, those who have already passed and even those who are walking around on the earth today, is to gather them up and for the Lord to take them home with him. And so we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so we can always be with the Lord from that point in time on. We will, in our spiritual bodies, always be with the Lord for all eternity. Well, that begs the question, why the rapture? Why did God design the rapture? Why did God plan all of this? What's the purpose of it? And first of all, the purpose of it is to take the church out before the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is a seven-year period of time that is going to come to this earth, and it's going to be God's last-ditch, all-out effort to bring people to the Lord, to bring people to a place of repentance. And so he's going to unleash great vials of judgment and chaos and torment, and there's going to be seven trumpets and seven vials of judgment, and there is going to be great chaos and mayhem here on the earth in that seven-year period of time that we call the tribulation. And so if you want to read about the tribulation, if you have a desire to know more detail about that, you can go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, read from chapter 4 to 19, and in that span of 15 chapters, there is a very detailed description of what the tribulation is going to look like. And brethren, I know that you're not going to want to be there. You're not going to want to be in a tribulation. It's a time of great sorrow. It's a great time of chaos. And people's love for each other will grow cold. And people will give each other up to the enemy. And so it's not going to be a time that you would relish to be there. And so in Luke 21:27. Jesus says to the disciples, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh." And in verse 36 in Luke 21, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And so Jesus says, pray that you will be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming. And if you go to the Luke chapter 21, from about verse 10 to 28 or 26. That is a description of the tribulation, and it is a description of things yet to come. It's not near as detailed as what you see in Revelation, but you can read about the tribulation to come in Luke 21, starting in verse 10, and also in Matthew 24. Jesus talks about it in the Olivet Discourse about the tribulation yet to come. And so God's will is that we as believers, as the saints who believe in Jesus Christ, it is God's will that we not have to go through that. It is God's will that we not be appointed to wrath, and that we not feel the wrath of God, and that we not endure. Now, that's not to say that some individual Christians, and maybe even a lot of Christians around the world, are not undergoing persecution at this time. We know they are. We know some are giving up their heads. We know some are being persecuted mightily in many ways. I've been to Africa where there's bombings, and the Muslims come in and they separate the Christians from the Muslims. They did that in the Westgate Mall and shot the Christians, and so there's persecution. But the tribulation and the great tribulation is going to be a time of great chaos and persecution, and it'll be the unrestricted, almost unrestricted, wrath of God being poured out on mankind as a last-ditch attempt by God to bring people to Him, as a last-ditch attempt by God to try to get people to confess and repent of their sins and turn back to their Creator. Well, the second reason that God has given us the rapture is that Jesus is going to take us back to heaven with Him to consummate the marriage between Himself and the church, and also then the marriage supper of the Lamb occurs at that time, and we will sit down with Jesus in heaven, and we're going to sup with Him, and we're going to enjoy the finest banquet we can ever possibly imagine, or more than we can ever think or imagine. And all the saints who have believed in Jesus from the past, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and those of us who are alive and remain, we're all going to sit down and we're going to sup with Jesus for a year at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so this will be a great time. It's not going to be any chintzy banquet with cheese and crackers, beloved. This is going to be a great feast, and it's going to go on and on and on. And we're going to love to be in the presence of the Lamb of God, and He's going to love to be in our presence. And we just praise the Lord and look forward to that time when we will consummate our marriage with Him with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so in Revelation 19:9, it speaks of this, not in great detail, but it says, "Then he said to me," that is John the Apostle, "write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And so as we consummate the marriage and we are setting and having supper with Jesus Christ, then after that we come back to earth with Jesus. He comes with the saints the second time, not for the saints, but He comes with the saints the second time, and He sets up His millennial reign, His reign for 1,000 years, and the devil is bound during that time, and then the devil is loosed at the end of the millennial reign for one short period of time, and then the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and sin and rebellion is taken out of the world, and sin and rebellion is dealt with for all mankind, for all eternity, and the devil will be no more. Well, I look forward to that day. I wish it were right now, but we have some things yet to do. The fullness of the Gentiles has not yet come in, and we need to preach the word. We need to take the word to those out there in the highways and byways, and so there's a lot of time left, we hope, to bring the lost into the kingdom of God. Well, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus did tell a parable that gives a picture of the marriage supper, and it's a parable that talks about the invitation going out to many. And so I'm going to read that in Luke 14, starting in verse 16. And then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them, and I ask you to have me excused. And still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men who were invited shall taste my supper. And so Jesus is saying that those who received the first invitation, that would be the Pharisees, the religious elite, they all had big excuses. They had to check on their horses or their cattle, or they had to check on their tractor, or they had to check and make sure their wife was doing all right all the time, or whatever. But they had lots of excuses that kept them from seeking the kingdom of God. And that's a picture of where we are today. There are many people who have good intentions. They claim to know God. They claim to know Jesus Christ, but they are so busy. They're so taken up in their pursuit of the almighty dollar, and they're so taken up in their pursuit of pleasing their mate or pleasing their boss or whoever, and so they don't have time for the kingdom of God. And so the days go by, the months and the years go by, and they don't seek the Lord. They have no time for things of the Lord, no time for prayer, no time for Bible study, no time for church attendance. And so Jesus says, let's go out to the outcasts, and we'll gather them in, the lame, the blind, the sick, and those who are the poor of the city, and we'll gather them in. And the outcasts will have time to listen. And so that's basically the same scripture about going into the prisons and into the hospitals and visiting those who are sick and clothing those who need clothing. And Jesus just says, we'll go to the outcasts, we'll gather them in. And then the servant came back to him and said, there's still room. And Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Well, I had a brother speak over me when I was in Africa the last time, that I wanted to go out and compel them to come in, that the Lord was giving me the authority to compel them to come in out of the highways and out of the hedges. And so I spoke the word, and I compelled the people to come in by the authority of the Almighty God. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. The Holy Spirit is the one who really brings people to the Lord, and we're just the spokesman for the Lord. We're just the mouthpiece for the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is the one that actually does the compelling and the convicting. And so as you are a servant to the Lord, God will give you the authority. He'll give you territory. He'll give you provision to go out and to bring in the lost into his kingdom. Well, the third point about why the rapture is that it was prophecy. It was prophesied. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. All of the end time events are a fulfillment of prophecy, not just of the feasts of Israel, Leviticus 23, but also all through the book of Daniel are end time prophecies, and other of the minor prophets of the Old Testament are end time prophecies, Zechariah and Isaiah. And, of course, many in Daniel, and I'm going to look at one today in Daniel, verse 24, chapter 9. That's the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel, and he gives him an explanation of the end-time events. In other words, he gives him an understanding of the end-time events. In verse 21 of chapter 9, Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, or in other words, at the time you started to pray, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the manner and understand the vision. Then in verse 24, there's a timeline, a prophetic timeline laid out, and it's a bit complicated. It's a bit intricate and woven into the future, but it is a timeline that you can depend on down to the day that Jesus Christ fulfilled in his life, and the fulfillment of the remainder of it, what we call the 70th week of Daniel, is still yet to come, and that will be the time of the great tribulation. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. And I'll stop right there and say the 70 weeks speaks of 77s of years, or 490 years. It's not talking about weeks as such as we consider weeks. It's 77s of years, or 490 years. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Well, what's he saying there? He's saying from the time of the decree, which King Cyrus of Persia issued a decree in 454 BC or somewhere thereabouts. There was actually three different decrees determining or declaring that Jerusalem would be rebuilt, that the temple would be rebuilt. And this was just an amazing thing, because these were pagan kings that the Lord God, Jehovah God, was not really their God at all, although they had an appreciation of him. But because of their decrees, the temple and eventually Jerusalem, the walls in Jerusalem, was rebuilt in the time of Ezra. You can go back there and read about that. The time of Nehemiah, you can go back there and read about that. And so it says here, there shall be 7 weeks, that is 49 years, for the time of the rebuilding, and 62 weeks, that is 434 years, in addition to the 49 years, for a total of 483 years. Then in verse 26, the picture starts to get a little more clear. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. All right, what's he saying there? After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That's talking about the crucifixion, when Jesus was cut off at the end of 62 weeks. That's at the end of the 434 years plus the 449 years of the time to rebuild the temple. And so we have 483 years after the decree was set out to rebuild Jerusalem, when the Messiah is cut off. So we now have 62 plus 7 is 69 years accounted for. And then another person comes on the scene, and this is the prince of the air, the prince, the demonic prince. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So we're now talking about the Antichrist, which comes on the scene in the tribulation, the Antichrist, and sets himself up in the temple as God over the whole earth. And verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, or the last 7 years. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, that is after 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Well, that gets a little bit complicated for the average Christian, for the baby believer especially. But what it is saying is that the Antichrist is going to rule and reign in the 7 year period we know as the tribulation. That in a 3.5 year period of time, he's going to break the covenant that he has made with many, that has established him as God over the whole earth. And so at the end of that seven-year period of time, the 70th week, at the end of that period of time, Jesus is going to come back with the saints, and there's going to be a war on the Antichrist, against the Antichrist, and all the armies, all the nations of the earth that are gathered up to destroy the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the true God. All those nations will be defeated at the end of that 70th week. And we can just say praise God for that. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah, because we are going to be on the winning side. We're going to be on the side of the victors. We're going to come back with Jesus Christ, and we will rule and reign with him and be with him for all eternity in the millennium and in the New Jerusalem from that point in time forevermore. Well, praise God, we're going to be on the winning team. Praise God, we're going to be on the victorious team. If you are ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, you're spending time with the Lord in prayer, you're spending time in Bible study, you're spending time in fellowship, you're spending time listening to this radio broadcast. And if you're not ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, if you're not ready for the rapture, you're preoccupied with a lot of other things in the world, and there's lots of things to get interested in, and I'm sure you don't need me to tell you what all they are. But what I'm here to tell you today is the rapture could come at any time. There's no pre-requirements. There's no prophetic time clock regarding the rapture. It's just a time when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and we need to be about preaching the word. We need to be about taking the gospel message to the four corners of the earth and all the people that don't know about Jesus Christ. And we need to be about the Father's business. And if you're about your Father's business and you are where you need to be in relationship to your Father and to his Son Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about when the rapture is going to fall. You don't have to worry about when Jesus is going to come back to gather up his saints, because you are going to be ready. And I pray that you today, if it's not, you need to get down on your knees and do business with the Lord. You need to repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, ask the Lord to forgive you, to heal you, and to set you right with him. And if you do that, you can just say then, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready for you, and to live as Christ, to die as gain. Well, I praise the Lord for this message today. I praise the Lord for the people listening out there today. And I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week. Tune in again next week. God bless you.